communication, because you got to get those guys to play for you. Well, he communicates with them. And the second part of that is the energy, right, and the passion. And his demeanor has rubbed off on the players. They've had fun. And I know it's we made fun of them. They should have been. You know, we needed to have fun. But they are, and the product's there. Realistically, and we've seen it, 2013, you bring in a new manager. The guy that they couldn't stand, like, what, four years later?
Right.
They won a World Series. You know, they bring in Francona, who is a player's coach, you know, like Alex Cork. Different, obviously, styles, but just that kind of, like, guys love him, right? They win a World Series. You know, so this will wear off, as it always does. You have to, you know, as a manager, adjust, but, you know, his style is what the team needed, and they're thriving. And then, dude, you put an MVP in the middle of your lineup, right? Even if Cora was average, they're still going to be better than last year.
Sure.
I mean, the piece that they missed because Ortiz was gone, if you could draw up his J.D. Martinez, that's what he is. So that's huge. And the way he plays gives everybody else confidence in the lineup, lets everybody take a breather in the lineup because he's producing. So those two offseason moves, you know, as of like, hey, they only really made two offseason moves. I'm like,
what? They're two pretty big offseason moves.
Pretty big moves.
Let's go to Chuck in New Hampshire. You're up with Johnston and Flynn here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Morning.
Thanks for taking the call. Appreciate it. Hey, I got to tell you, I love this Red Sox team. I mean, it's playing really well. It's always entertaining, a lot of good hitting and all that. But I got to tell you, I'm wondering why the Red Sox don't take a page from Danny Ainge's playbook and trade Xander Bogaerts now while you can get something for him. He was kind of slumping a little bit last year. This year, the guy is absolutely just ripping the ball. He's going to be a free agent soon. He's got Scott Boris as his agent, and there's no way the Red Sox are going to re-sign this guy. I mean, Boris is going to ask for the moon. The Red Sox have to re-sign Mookie Betts. That's your guy. They're going to have to re-sign Sale. They should try to re-sign Kimbrel. I'm just looking at it and thinking, you know, maybe you kind of take the Danny Ainge philosophy, trade this guy now and get some really good draft picks for him because the farm system's depleted. You always got to be looking for, you know, the next year. You can't always just purely be focused on this year. Just wonder what you guys thought of that.
I don't know if trading Bogaerts is the Danny Ainge model. I mean, who is Ainge traded when he was in his prime or like potentially could, you know,
but it is a sell high moment.
Like yes. I would
play out the year. I'm not looking to deal him right now.
Why would you do it now?
You, I mean, you're winning. You play out the year, rolling. Hope that he continues to play.
How many years is
well.
He under control?
They've
another
got
couple
him
years?
One more year.
After this season,
after this
correct?
Year. He's so he goes to arbitration for next year, and then the year 2020, he's eligible for free agency. So this offseason, if he continues to play the way he's playing, then yeah, I think absolutely you sell high.
I mean, that's under consideration because you can't, I mean, bets and
you can't and sign everybody.
You just can't do it. And that could be an issue, but to do that now, I think you're kind of biting your nose off despite your face.
Yeah,
I mean,
if you're
500, if you're five games behind the Yankees and maybe you're going to roll to another, you know, roll to the wild card to get dumped or out of the playoffs, like, if you want to foreshadow that ahead and replenish your farm system, which is the worst in baseball or one of the worst in baseball, but why would you do that now? I mean, you revisit in the offseason and realize who you're dealing with in terms of the agent and who you really need to sign and who you need to have here. Okay, we could talk about that then, but now, why? I mean, this could be something special here. And maybe you lose out in the long run about selling high, but do you want to just give in and concede a season to get an extra draft pick here or there? I wouldn't.
No. I'm not subtracting anything significant off of this team while
they're playing
this well. There's no chance. All right, we will move into our final hour here. It's Ryan Johnston and Mike Flynn in for Toucher and Rich.
We all have our morning routine.
The kids ain't going to learn nothing.
Thanks for making Toucher and Rich part of yours.
That's right, baby.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Okie dokie. Let's go.
98.5, the Sports Hub. Ryan Johnston and Mike Flynn in for Toucher and Rich here on this Monday morning. Mike, I know you're not a gambling guy.
Certainly. Well,
Not
I may become a gambler.
Well, you're not
guy.
A sports gambler.
Yeah, generally, I don't gamble.
You're not a sports gambling
or
guy.
Cards, dice, or anything. I'm just not a Vegas gambling guy. No.
But sooner rather than later, sports gambling is legal. Sports gambling is coming to Massachusetts.
Yes,
it will be happening.
And honestly, just to good. When I mean I do not bet, I can probably count the times I bet on any kind of game. On my hand. Now, granted,
well, when you're a player, you're not allowed to, right? Like, there's rules against that, these types of things.
Well, I bet, but not on football. I think. Well, I don't know. I guess it doesn't matter now. I mean,
yeah. What are they going to do?
No, like in an offseason,
not
going to
keep you out of the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, because I'm not getting in. But I'm saying I don't even play cards. But the fact that now a sports book could be in any casino, anything around here, like so, a guy like me will bet. So it's going to have huge consequences. Financially and what we're getting into now, because I have no interest, but all of a sudden when I heard that, I'm like,
yes.
I can find that interesting now.
So just, you know, this is just the tip of the iceberg, obviously, as we've the Supreme Court decision came down a couple of months ago or whatever it was. State of New Jersey opened up their sports gambling for the first time about middle of June. And the last 2 weeks of June, they basically were getting about $1 million a day. In gambling, which is actually, I mean, New Jersey's slightly larger population wise than Massachusetts, so you can probably, you know, almost equate those two. Like when Massachusetts gets it up and running, and you know, gets gambling parlors or online betting or whatever it's going to be, the numbers will probably be fairly similar between here and there. But the NFLPA, I thought this was really interesting. The NFLPA. Had one of their executives was doing a talk the other day at a gathering of some state legislators and some people from the gambling industry, because everybody's trying to figure this out. Like, how does this work? Like, you know, we've had it in Las Vegas, obviously, and people could go out there and make wagers, but nothing to this scale. And how do we run this? Do you allow people to gamble online? Do you allow people to bet live during games so that you can literally be betting on the outcome of the next play if it gets that small? So how do you figure this out? And the guy from the NFLPA said their concern is not about the gambling itself. It's about the impact that it's going to have on the players and their families and the people around them off the field, because you're going to potentially have, you know, we talked about it before about how, you know, if a guy goes out to dinner, somebody might come up to him and go, yeah, you know, nice catch, hands, like, you know, you just cost me $1,000, you know, and give him crap while he's out. But you've got potentially, because we've talked about this before, if they put like betting parlors in at the stadium, you could potentially have a stadium with 70,000 people in it where almost everybody's got money riding on that game.
Right, I would if I right, went if, to an arena if, and they had betting,
they
it'd
had,
be almost
you would,
impossible
of course
for me
you're
not
put
to
some
bet.
Money on the game. It doesn't have to be
impossible.
A lot, but yes. You might just throw $20 on the game just to make it a little bit more interesting while you're there. Of course, you would.
And you can look at it just with fantasy football, and it's more of social media backlash they get fantasy football, but. When you have money involved, like if your team loses, I've playing a game, and we'll play a big game when I was with Baltimore and around town, sometimes fans take kick personal. Like, dude, do I want to lose? No. But they're passionate, and you don't want to take that away from them, because that's why the sport is so popular. But it's emotion. You want your team to win, and sometimes there's issues like you stink and there's a back and forth. But now if a guy has that same emotion and he loses $1,500, the $1,500 is a lot more tangible than emotion, right? Like it's real money. And he feels you are directly responsible for it. Not that, hey, don't bet. And humans make mistakes. Nobody's perfect. What about the other 8 catches in the game that I got? Or about the other blocks that I made in the game? But no, you focus on one that now it's financial. It's tangible. You had something and you could look at it and say, I personally took that away. I never thought of that. I thought of the gambling. It's more of a integrity of the game issue. But these guys make so much money. It's never an issue of them throwing games or anything like that or betting on their own team. But, yeah, I think it's legitimate. It doesn't really matter. the NFL doesn't care. What do they care? They want their money. They're going to jump in the pool hip deep. They're not going to, you know, tippy toe in. It's going to happen. I think it's a legitimate fear. I'm not going to predict something will happen, but I'm going to tell you, it certainly is going to have a hell of a different edge than you know, losing a fantasy game. I mean, there. I know.
Yeah, because you're going to talk about
plays that like high stakes fantasy, but it's like $200 or $300.
Right. It's not even. I mean, ultimately, people are going to put way more on the outcome of a game than they are on fantasy sports.
And here's the guy that's really going to get you. The guy, and we've talked about any guy that bets trying to get back his nut, right? Trying to break even, and now he's even deeper in the hole, and he's storming out of that building or storming into that bar to drink his last $2 away, and you happen to be sitting there. I just feel like the you know where the guy that you know it's not dude I can't get my Dunkin' coffee on Monday. You gotta wait till Tuesday. No, it's like oh I can't pay my mortgage. That's scary stuff though if you're a player. But like dude, players are humans. I mean they get paid a lot of money and they're the best at what they do. And there's this expectation of perfection. You strive for it, doesn't happen. But you know as a fan, I'm there. The guy could go for 40, 40, and 40. He misses the game-winning free throw. You are pissed. So I think it was Eric Winston, right? He's the head of the NFLPA. I think it's a valid point. I'm not predicting anything. I hope people come to their senses, but I think it's
well. No, you
I think
know,
it's legitimate.
Like the, you know, the vast majority of people are sane enough that it's like they're not going to do it.
Yeah, but, they're betting responsibly.
But there's but even if they're not, like they're not going to take it out on the player if they get something wrong. That's the 99.9%, but it's the 0.1% that you got to worry about because those people are nuts. They're idiots. And yeah, if some guy's going to lose his house and he's going to blame it on the quarterback, you know, try to follow the guy home from the stadium. Like that's and you think, well, that it wouldn't possibly happen. People already harass these guys.
Come on. Yes, it would. I've been harassed. Yeah, you absolutely get harassed. And it's something as you suck, but now it's like, you know what? You suck and you cost me $2,000. Yeah, it used to be if you go to those people that would go to the game,
I mean,
you were telling a couple hundred bucks.
You were telling a story the other day about when you guys were playing in Philly in a preseason game. God. And they canceled the game because the field conditions were garbage, which they always were in Philly. But the turf was so bad they couldn't play on it. And somebody came up to you and demanded you pay for their ticket.
Two people came over the railing and demanded that I pay for their tickets. And I thought he was joking around. Then I realized he wasn't joking around. He was dead. And I love how he used restitution, actually.
He wanted restitution. for a preseason
that
football
hasn't started yet.
This guy could barely stand up.
No, and I got to the point where, like, I'm thinking, like, you know what? I'm kind of out with the animals. I'm exposed a little bit. I still had my pads on, not the shoulder pads. Just I'm like, you want a tango, brother? Let's go. I was ready to go because I knew him and his buddy, this dope, were like. It'd be like, you know, Three Stooges. I'd knock their heads together and they'd fall over. But I was ready. But yeah, they would expect that.
Let's go to Joe in Providence. You're up with Johnston and Flynn here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I got somebody who's on the inside. First of all, number one, fantasy football is antiquated. Forget about fantasy football. It's about daily fantasy. Okay, I know guys on DraftKings doing $5,000 on the 1 o'clock games. Easy. Sometimes 10. Then they're coming back and playing at four for another grand. This isn't, there's no more, oh, it's a couple $100 in a fantasy league. Forget about that. And secondly, you're talking about that 0.1%. That 0.1%, they're already gambling. You know what I mean? Those guys are already gambling. And as far as anyone getting at anybody.
No, I'm not talking about the 0.1% are gambling. I'm talking about the people that are way emotional and say, oh, now right, gambling's right. legal. Let's
right.
go for
no,
a ride.
There's going to be so much more opportunity
know what they're
to
doing.
Do it now, right? Like, if you look, there are ways to gamble, obviously. You know, there, you can have a bookie. You can go to the online sites. We all know that. But the vast majority of people don't do that. Now, when you're going to be able to go down, you know, whether it's at one of the casinos, you know, that's coming up here in Massachusetts, or whether it's going to be able to, you legitimately might be able to go online and place a bet or go to your local convenience store the same way you buy your scratchers and buy a, you know, put a bet down on the Patriots game. The opportunity is going to be open to so many more people. You're just opening it up to more nuts. It doesn't have to be somebody who's a degenerate gambler. It could just be somebody who gets hooked on it because now it's available to them and they end up losing way too much money. Troy is in Dorchester. Troy, you're up next with Johnston and Flynn in for Toucher and Rich.
How you guys doing this morning? Sounds good. Great in the studio, guys.
Thanks, Troy.
So I'm really scared of the whole legal gambling thing. Just because, let's say I'm the third long snapper or I'm the third point guard of a team, I might have a system set up where I say, hey, listen, if an injury happens and I get this game, I'm getting $25K a season from this team. You need to put a play in, and I'm going to screw it up. Okay, you just have a system set up. You know, I'm not saying it would happen, but I'm saying that leaves the possibility once you legalize something like this gambling situation. Once you're like everybody can just go do it, no matter what, no matter who, you leave that open for the guy who doesn't get
word out to the sharps that. All right, so if you see me go in the game, know that I'm snapping this thing right over the punter's head. Like we're
yeah, but there was like I was watching Eight Men Out, which is about the Black Sox scandal. It was 1908
1919.
Okay, those guys didn't make any money. Like even a backup snapper now is making the league minimum.
League minimum is like $450 or something like that.
Why would you risk? You know, you go to jail for that. Like it's right. Not like just. You can get cut from the team. You go to jail, and to embarrass yourself, lose your salary, and all these different things to make an extra $10,000. Like that's why these scandals would be more like you mentioned. College
sports is ripe for it
because they don't get any money
because the kids aren't getting paid theoretically.
But at the professional level, I mean, when league minimum's $450, why would you ever even consider it? Like you're not going to make $1 million throwing a football game.
All right, Sean Silver gives us Sports Hub headlines. Final half hour for us here on a Monday. Johnston and Flynn in for Toucher and Rich.
Toucher and Rich. 98.5, the Sports Hub. Sports Hub headlines.
The Red Sox 5-2 winners over the Blue Jays. They take 3 of 4 out of their Fenway series. They're 38 games over 500 on the season. Brandon Workman got the win in relief. Craig Kimbrell is 30th save. He's second in all of baseball in that category. Xander Bogaerts, his 16th homer, now has 64 RBI on the season. That's 2 more than he had all of last year. Brock Holt also drove in 2 in the win. The Sox now lead the AL East by 4.5 games as the Yankees were 5-2 losers to the Indians. Boston has the week off for the All-Star break. They'll play again Friday night in Detroit. Former Red Sox David Ortiz getting involved in the All-Star festivities. He actually managed the world team in the All-Star Futures game yesterday. His squad lost, however, 10-6. Looking around the AL East, it was the Orioles over the Rangers 6-5. Manny Machado pulled from that one following a rain delay. The Rays fell to the Twins 11-7. Brian Dozier with a walk-off grand slam. At Wimbledon, Novak Djokovic beat Kevin Anderson in straight sets, his fourth title at Wimbledon, 13th Grand Slam win overall. The World Cup, France defeated Croatia 4-2 for the title. And the Celtics fell to the Portland Trailblazers in the quarterfinals of the Las Vegas Summer League 95-80. They are now out, off for summer vacation. The team also announced they had waived guard Kadeem Allen. Sports Hub headlines are brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. Go to GettingOilChange.com now to save up to $15 on your next oil change. Print out the coupon or pull it up on your mobile device. I'm Sean Silver at Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Your next update in 30 minutes.
Call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. Quit smoking, not just for yourself, but for the ones you love and love you. Call 1-800-QUIT-NOW.
Miss something?
You know what that means.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
Mankind became stupider.
Now back to Toucher and Rich on Boston's Home for Sports.
Ryan Johnston and Mike Flynn in for Toucher and Rich. 617-779-0985. We got a couple more calls, I think, on the gambling thing, but you teased me with this earlier, so I have to know the answer. You said Bruce Willis. The definitive answer on a question that has been...
You say it's a Christmas movie,
so correct. This has been debated for many years. Is Die Hard a Christmas movie? And the answer, of course, is yes.
And the only, I guess, opinion would matter would be his, or maybe the director, his vision, I guess. It's his celebrity roast. And I guess Demi Moore shows up and just really...
Okay, so they did a Bruce Willis celebrity roast.
Will probably be on TV, on Comedy Central at some point. But Demi Moore showed up, and I guess
ex-wife
ripped them pretty good. So I imagine it's pretty good. But from Bruce Willis. Now I think we will just, it's over with. It's buried. It's, this is the definitive answer. We know what it is.
Is it Demi?
Demi? What is it? Demi?
I believe it's Demi Moore.
Demi.
Yeah, going with Demi.
Demi. Ooh. D-E-M-I. I mean, that name in itself. Get a real name. this will end the debate because there you can't argue this. Bruce Willis should be the last word. It is not a Christmas movie.
I disagree.
It is not a Christmas movie.
I disagree with Bruce Willis.
It doesn't matter. You could disagree, but now you're officially wrong because there's always debate. There's well, no, gray
it wasn't. Area. Bruce Willis was in the movie, but it wasn't his. He didn't make the movie.
He was in the movie. He's what the franchise is about. He's in the part. Like, he had to, you know, like, really immerse himself in the Die Hard world.
I will say this. It okay, is not a in movie. The defense of it not being a Christmas movie. It came out in July. It came out in July.
Yes, you don't have to defend it. Okay. It's not a Christmas movie.
So, though it is set at Christmas, it came out in the summer.
Yeah, but some of these, like, you'll have a Christmas movie that comes out in, like, October now, which is better than the summer.
Well, but that's, like, when you start seeing Christmas displays in the stores and stuff, too.
Okay.
So, that's, like, kind of at least officially.
Well, I'm trying to help your cause. My point is it's not a Christmas movie. It's over.
It is. And Die Hard 2 is a Christmas movie as well.
I never want to hear that out of your mouth again. I never thought it was a Christmas movie.
There's Christmas music in the movie.
Oh, God.
It takes place at Christmas. I don't know what else you need.
Who has more credibility if they give an opinion about this, you or Bruce Willis? Just answer honestly.
Me.
Oh, God.
Because who's Bruce Willis? He was in the movie.
He was in the movie.
How many times do you think Bruce Willis has watched Die Hard versus how many times I have watched Die Hard? All right. Who knows more about the movie Die Hard than I do? Me or Bruce Willis?
That's a good point. That is a very good
you
point.
You think Bruce Willis stops every time Die Hard's on cable and watches?
Because
I was watching Die Hard 2 last weekend.
When they do the Die Hard, like in one of these holiday weekend like blocks of movies, and you may be right on that. But with that said, I got to go with what he says. Because here's why. If he doesn't think it's a Christmas movie, it's not. Because now you look at it from that point of view of what he said, you'll realize it's not a Christmas movie. It's an action movie. Adventure. Suspense. But not a Christmas movie.
Now, you know, you may know...
Ho, 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 now I have a machine gun. It's a Christmas movie!
You may know all of the words to every Van Halen song, perhaps, right?
Yes.
But David Lee Roth, he forgets the words when he's up on stage. But just because you know the words does not mean that you know the meaning. David Lee Roth,
Mike knows more about Van Halen than David Lee Roth does.
Well,
he does.
Now there were some years David Lee Roth was out of the band.
Not in 1978, but certainly in 2018, I know much more about that band that David Lee Roth does. You guys are making valid, but I just feel like, but if David Lee Roth said, if I had my, for example, the song Jump, whatever my interpretation, what I think it means, if David Lee Roth comes out and says, it means this, well, that's what it means. I can't project that on anymore. So that's it. He said it's not a Christmas movie. Let's end the debate. And it is funny though, how many people argue about that. And it's over. And I feel bad for you because you always kept this thing going constantly.
I'm going to continue to tell you it's a Christmas movie.
It's like Carly Simon announcing who You're So Vain is about. It's like once the mystery is over, it's like, what do we have to talk about as a society?
Yes. And she's never come out with that, right?
Wasn't there a thing? There was like a charity auction where
somebody paid like $1 million for her to whisper it in their ear.
Yeah.
Chris, you're up next with Johnston and Flynn in for Toucher and Rich. What's going on?
Gentlemen, good morning. I'm enjoying the conversation. By the way, Die Hard Christmas.
Sure. No, Chris, we're going to put you back on hold.
Because I think you have a good point to debunk Ryan's theory. It's a good conversation. Let's put it this way. It was a good conversation. But Bruce Willis is pretty much end at that.
Let's try Mark. You're up next here with Johnston and Flynn.
Hey, good morning, guys.
What's up?
Mark, what's happening, buddy?
So there are people that gamble and there are people that don't gamble. Just because they're going to make it legal wherever they make it legal doesn't necessarily mean that the people that don't gamble are all of a sudden going to start gambling. I mean, it's been going on for 100 years.
I disagree.
The only thing that's going to change, guys, and I'm going to be honest with you, that the bookies are going to get pissed off because people are going to do it legally and get better odds, better payouts, because bookies, they cap stuff. I mean, personally, I do FanDuel and DraftKings, and I make three bets a year. That's the Kentucky Derby, the Preakness, and the Belmont. And when I always bet long shots in those races, and the long shots, if it's 50-1, bookies cap it at like 30. So you're not getting the full payment. God forbid if your horse wins. That's the only people it's going to hurt is the bookies.
Yeah, but think about so the general public who does not have a bookie and doesn't go on online sites, you still bet money on the Super Bowl in some form or another. Like you go to a party, you're guaranteed you're throwing money in squares. You still fill out your bracket every March and put money into that. Like people gamble. Like I would say the majority of the country at some point during the course of the year will put some sort of money on some sort of sporting event. Even those who aren't sports fans do. Like my wife hates basketball. She's involved in a NCAA pool every year, right? I mean, that's just part of what we do. Now just take that to the next level. I'm not saying that everybody immediately is going to have money riding on every game, and not everybody's going to say, well, this Monday night game that I don't care about, I'm going to throw some money on it to make myself care about it. But at the same time, I do believe that it's going to help TV ratings because there are people who are going to do that. The same way fantasy football has helped with these miserable Thursday night games. Like people watch them because they've got fantasy football money riding on it. Well, guess what? Now, you know, you got Jacksonville versus Tennessee on a Thursday night. Where do I put my money? And I'll be tuning in. That's the way people are going to go. And it's not going to be everybody, but it's going to be a sizable chunk of the population. I mean, again, they just got this off the ground in New Jersey. They're seeing $1 million of bets a day over the first 2 weeks. And there's nothing going on. There's no, they're like, the only thing to bet on in the last couple of weeks was the World Cup in Wimbledon and baseball, which these are not big betting, you know, big betting days. What do you think they're going to be pulling down during the football season? How much money are they going to be putting down? Are people going to be putting down a week on NFL games? And again, yeah, some of those people, the people that are already doing it illegally, might continue to do it through a bookie. But it's the millions of other people that aren't doing it illegally who are going to say, you know, probably be a little bit of extra fun if I get $50 riding on this game instead of just watching it for fun and just because I want to root for the team.
Yeah, I disagree with that because I don't bet at all. And part of it would be like, I don't have a bookie and I'm not going to do an online site. But if somebody says, hey, the game's on, you want to go down the street here and drop $200?
I mean, sure. I'm not a big, I've never really been a big sports gambler either because I'm not very good at it. But when I went to Vegas a few years ago, it coincided with the college football national championship game. It was the day we got there. And the first thing I did was go to the sports book and put a bet down on that game. We went and sat in the sports book and watched the national championship game. And it was one of the most fun things I've ever done watching a sporting event. And I didn't have
with it a was, bunch of degenerates.
Oh my God.
House
the mood
on the line.
Swings in that room. Every time there was a big play in the game, that was the game when Saban pulled the onside kick against Clemson.
Yeah.
Like, and I had Alabama in the over. I mean, I'm high-fiving the people around me. Meanwhile, there's another guy on the other side of me giving me dirty looks. Like it was so much fun. Now you'll be able to do that in like every bar in America now. There'll be people sitting around you that, you know, if you're sitting there watching the game, there'll be people sitting around you that have bets on the game on both sides. It adds to the excitement. It really does. All right, we'll wrap up this edition of Toucher and Rich. It's Johnston and Flynn in for the guys, and we'll check in with the folks up in New Hampshire at the golf course coming up next.
98.5. Toucher and Rich.
Miss Toucher and Rich.
Oh, boy, well.
Or Felger and Maz.
That is an insult.
Listen to the podcasts on the new 98.5 The Sports Hub app.